Job creation had slowed coming out of the summer, but the floodgate opened once autumn hit. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news today. The U.S. economy added 271,000 jobs in October. That was much higher than forecast. Also, the unemployment rate dropped to 5%, and average hourly pay went up more than predicted. The hiring was biased toward service sector jobs rather than manufacturing. It was in healthcare, retail, restaurants, construction. Let me tell you, we really need to talk to Chris Lowe, who's chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Wow, 271,000 new names on payrolls here. What is the story?
This was a huge jobs report, the biggest since last December. The unemployment rate fell also. It was only down a little bit, but it hits that, you know, psychological 5% threshold. Job gains in all sorts of places this time.
All right, so yay, October, but what then happened in August and in September? There was a lot of weakness then.
Right. We now have a more complete story. Obviously, you remember when the Chinese stock market went into a tailspin and turmoil spread through currency markets, commodity markets, the U.S. stock market. Clearly, what happened was companies just stopped what they were doing. Mergers and acquisitions stopped. Hiring decisions were put on hold. And with calm back in the markets, the S&P, of course, fully recovered, China in a bull market again, those hiring decisions were put back on. I think what we're looking at in October is basically 3 months of job gains. The right way to think about it, well, average this month with the last two, you end up with something just a little bit north of 200,000 a month, and that is healthy.
I'd prefer to stay right here in the real economy, people getting jobs. But I got to ask you, the other economy, the one where people worry about higher interest rates, will the Federal Reserve, with the data just now, raise rates in December?
That's what the markets are telling you. You know, just one example, oil prices are down about 50 cents. Normally, oil would rise if the economy is strong, but we're all thinking Fed. I would say definitely the rate hike is on unless we get some pretty convincing sign of weakness in the remaining reports coming out for this month and next. I doubt it. So, yes, rate hike on. And that's been, you know, the story really since April. They were going to raise rates as soon as the economy and the markets let them. And it looks like the window is open.
All right. Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, no one adores a rent increase, but according to data released by the New York Federal Reserve, rent increases have been highest for those least able to pay. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
According to the New York Fed, the highest rents in the U.S., on average, haven't changed that much recently. But for the places with the cheapest rents, where the poorest Americans live, average rent inflation has been 16% per year.
Well, it's not surprising.
Paul Habibi is a real estate lecturer at UCLA. He says low-rent units don't make much money.
The rents don't support the cost of new construction.
Developers build where they can turn a profit. That increases supply and keeps rents from rising as much. In communities where rents are low, it's the opposite. And then there may be something else.
What we've seen since 2004 is no increase in homeowners, whereas a millions of increase in renters.
Susan Wachter teaches real estate at the Wharton School. It's become harder to own a home, so people rent.
And that is driving the demand side of this equation.
Chris Mayer is professor of real estate at Columbia. He says all of this emphasizes something many people know.
There's this group of people in this country who are facing really significant challenges, and this study adds to the evidence.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Disney profits came out after the stock market closed yesterday, with revenue up partly from ad sales at ESPN. Disney also announced a new relationship with Sony, which is adding ESPN, ABC, and Disney channels to its PlayStation View video subscription service. This creates a new alternative for consumers looking to chop off their cable TV subscriptions. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Depending on how you look at it, the move from traditional TV to digital makes this either a very messy time for media companies or a very innovative one. James McQuivey is a media analyst at Forrester Research.
It's messy and innovative.
He says the companies that make and own content are experimenting with all sorts of distribution models, from Netflix to Sony to their own dot-coms.
Because they know that once the model starts to coalesce, it's going to coalesce pretty quickly.
And they're going to want to have consumer and business relationships so they can be there, wherever it is that there is. But all that experimentation isn't without some risks. Paul Verna is an analyst at eMarketer.
ESPN and Disney are still very much invested in the traditional pay TV ecosystem, so anything that takes viewers away from that is, on some level, a threat to their business.
But the bigger risk, he says, would be to ignore consumers who want to watch when and where and on the device they want to watch on. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And European air quality regulators need to start testing for pollution in vehicles out in the real world instead of all this testing under artificial conditions. This plea today in an open letter is not from Greenpeace or the Sierra Club. It's from some big investment companies, including BlackRock, Aberdeen Asset Management, Janus Capital International, and more than 100 others. These are heavy hitters controlling $13 trillion in investment money. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.